This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
It's a great day. It is Super Bowl 59. We get to celebrate not only football, but the end of all the nonsense football hype that goes with it. And what I mean by that, Tom Ackerman with you, is I just can't get into all the just over and over and over hitting me over the head 24 hours a day on TV football talk. It absolutely wears me out, and I think some of you probably feel the same way. Just a lot of people talking and talking and talking about this matchup. I can only take so much, so I like to sort of, go about it my own way, go by the analysis of the game. I love this matchup between these two teams, and I'm going to enjoy it immensely. I'm going to sit in front of the TV. I'm going to have the audio up. I'm going to listen to Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady and Aaron Andrews and everybody else who's part of that show and take it all in on Fox, because I think it'll be a really great game. And then as soon as the clock hits all zeros and the Lombardi Trophy is handed over, you know what it is? It's baseball season. And I love baseball season, and I love the start of spring training. It is a new season for everybody, including the Cardinals. And yes, I understand the Cardinals are not going to be picked to win the NL Central. They are in development, let's say, a reset from the very, very top to the very, very bottom. They are resetting the front office. They are resetting the way players are brought in and developed. And that is going to take place starting right now. In fact, it's already been underway the last 2 years when Chaim Bloom was first contacted to be part of this organization in 23. He was there at the start of spring training last year in 24 and has been a watchful eye. And now he has been put into place as the president of baseball operations starting next season. John Mozeliak's job is to guide the team and get it ready for Bloom. And ownership, Bill DeWitt on down, has put their faith in Chaim Bloom, Rob Serfolio, and Larry Day. So it is going to be a new era, actually. Not just a new season, but a new era begins this week for the St. Louis Cardinals. College basketball, what a day yesterday. Just so much going on. I had my heart broken not once, but twice. Indiana down 18, came back, tied Michigan, and then ended up losing by 3. Mizzou was down pretty much most of the game, I would say, to A&M. And then on a Tamar Bates thunderous dunk, and then another one on a lob. They had themselves a lead. They ended up tied late, and then it was a 3 by Wade Taylor III from the right wing that doused the fire at Mizzou Arena and the Tigers lost 67-64. Mizzou loses to number 10 Texas A&M. Mizzou's good, ranked 15th in the country, but they've lost back-to-back games to two top 10 teams, Tennessee and Texas A&M. Don't be discouraged. They're going to be a good team and a tough out in the NCAA tournament. Heck, they could be a tough out in the SEC tournament before it's all said and done. The SEC is open. There is no number one team. I know that Auburn has been, but Auburn lost to Florida yesterday 90-81. That was surprising to me. Maybe not surprising to the Florida fans who have been following the Gators very closely, although the Gators have had some slip-ups along the way. But this wasn't just a win for Florida in a game against the number one team. It's the first time that they have beaten a top-ranked team on the road, and they did it 90-81 with a decisive victory, I would say. They were down early, but then they came back. They took the lead, and they never let it go. The Tigers had a 14-game winning streak, so they take their first loss in the SEC. They're 9-1, 21-2 overall. They're not going to fall very far, but they will fall. And the number two team in the country also lost. Duke lost to Clemson yesterday. Now, they will fall after that. Not too far, but they are going to fall. Clemson, 77-71, unranked Clemson, beats number two Duke and snaps the Blue Devils' 16-game winning streak. And this was also significant because it was the first game back for Dick Vitale in 2 years. After undergoing treatment after treatment for cancer and beating cancer, Dick Vitale back on the floor, his voice back, his spirit never left. He's always been motivational, even in silence. He was sending out motivational messages on social media. We all stayed with Mr. Vitale, and he stayed with us. And here he is, broadcasting basketball again. It makes me so happy because I will tell you, young folks out there, there is no college basketball hype, entertainment to the level that it's been over the last three-plus decades without Dick Vitale. Dick Vitale is the reason that that took place. Dick Vitale was the first big, booming personality hyping college basketball. Billy Packer was an excellent college basketball analyst for a number of years on CBS. But Dick took it to a different level and took himself into superstardom as this overwhelming, positive, exciting personality who not only knew the game as a former coach, but also could identify the great stars. He had a knack for finding the diaper dandies, as he called them, and how they would become great stars. And he had all those great sayings and always has. And it's just so nice to see him back doing games again. It just makes me happy. Hockey yesterday. And by the way, Illinois also won. I shouldn't leave them out. They beat Minnesota 95-74. That's a really nice win for the Illini, number 23 in the country. Get themselves back on track. And then hockey, the Blues beat the Blackhawks 6-5 in a shootout in the 10th round. Roddick Fox has scored. Phew. Get themselves into the break with a win. You had to have it, and they did get it. So a very nice job by them. Now there is a break. This is the two-week Four Nations face-off break. We'll explain what the Four Nations face-off is. It's kind of a primer for the Olympics, let's say. And we're going to have Steve Chapman, the Blues executive, with us coming up at 10:45. But up next, we are going to visit with Danan Hughes. The Chiefs radio analyst is down in New Orleans and getting ready for this matchup, Super Bowl 59. We'll break it down for you, the Chiefs and the Eagles, what to watch for on both sides as we get ready for this 5:30 kickoff later on today. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning. Here is our lineup. Danan Hughes, Josh Schertz, the SLU coach at 10:30, Steve Chapman at 10:45, Lutz Fadenstiel at 11:15. 11:30, we will look back at the greatest offense in the history of the league, the St. Louis Rams. The greatest show on turf won the Super Bowl 25 years ago. And Bernie Miklas will bring the hammer in the final segment at 11:45. We can't wait to visit with him, as always. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. Happy Super Bowl Sunday to you. We'll be right back. So here's what we have. Two football teams who are very, very well-schooled, well-coached. They have as good a situation as anybody right now, these two teams, the Eagles and the Chiefs. Nick Sirianni and his staff are just outstanding. And we all know about Andy Reid and the Chiefs. I mean, it's historic at this point. If they end up winning this Super Bowl, they'll be the first in the Super Bowl era, not the first team ever, but the first in the Super Bowl era to win three straight championships, three straight Super Bowls, unheard of. And it's a team, really, that has one thing that a lot of teams just don't. This is Tom Brady, who would know something about greatness, and Saquon Barkley, the running back for the Eagles. He is absolutely phenomenal. Here is a listen to something from earlier in the postseason. Tom Brady, Saquon Barkley.
Do yards mean anything to you at this point?
I mean, I can't break the record now, right?
Let's go.
Today's LFG player of the game is none other than Saquon Barkley. Another great performance. But before I talk about today, I want to go back to last week. The decision to not go for the rushing record. I know it's a team sport. These games are so important. Was that a tough decision for you?
No, I mean, it kind of made it easy on me. Coach made the decision for me. Obviously, I wanted to go for it, and the team wanted to go for it. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is, you know, advancing and winning playoff football games. And I felt like we were fresh. We came out a little sluggish, obviously, sitting out that game. But we got things going. Our defense balled out for us, and we got the win.
Yeah, your defense certainly played great, and you churned out yards there at the end. Tell me about your offensive line. And I've been through a lot of statistics this year, but you're gaining 2 yards before any contact. How much does that enable these big plays for you, certainly in the second half of games?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. In the offseason, before I signed here, a big reason why I wanted to come here is play with Coach Tyler and those guys up front, and they've been doing a tremendous job. The biggest thing I think about them is how versatile they are. We could beat you in inside zone. We could beat you in gap scheme, outside zone, anything. They can run it. You call it, they'll haul it. And, you know, I just follow those guys, and they make me look a lot better.
Yeah, you guys have a great run scheme, and that's set up the last run of the game where you slid. Do yards mean anything to you at this point?
I mean, I can't break the record now, right? Most important thing is winning games, and it was no mod situation. AJ and Smitty kind of gave me crap. Definitely left some on the bone, but at the end of the day, the stat line don't matter. Only stat line that matters is getting dubs and advancing.
Yeah, save it for next week, all right? Hopefully we're back here. I know you're back here. Hopefully we're back here to see you play. Congratulations. Great game, great season. Keep it up, my man.
Thank you. You the GOAT, for real. You already know that. Much love.
Love you, man. Great job.
That is Tom Brady with Saquon Barkley on Fox. I really like that interview between two great ones, two winners, because I'm here to tell you, Saquon Barkley is a winner. He is about winning football games. He came to the Eagles to win. He played for the New York Giants, and this opportunity to play for the Eagles was, I'm sure, the only thing that held him back was he was going to get some trouble from New York fans. That's about it. I mean, he's going over to play for a winner, and he is a winner. Barkley is a special talent. That interview was from their wild card win over the Packers. Then they went out and they smashed the Washington Commanders. And what Barkley does is change the entire dynamic of this Eagles team. They have an outstanding defense. He mentioned right there his amazing offensive line with great blocking. They give him plenty of room to operate, to get those first couple of yards clean so that he can gain some momentum. He doesn't get hit at the line of scrimmage, and that's what makes him so dangerous, because if you give him a couple of steps in open space, he is going to go the distance. Barkley will do that. Now, can he do that against the Chiefs, as Steve Spagnuolo's defenses have been able to contain running backs for the most part? And has Spags been able to face somebody like this? They faced Jalen Hurts before, and Hurts, his game against the Chiefs the first time around 2 years ago, was phenomenal. I mean, he ran for 3 touchdowns, and he can run, too. He also was very efficient throwing the football. He's got a couple of people to throw to. You heard Barkley mention them, A.J. and Smitty. That would be A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And he has Goddard to throw to also, a tight end. But this is an Eagles team that is going to be winning this game if Hurts plays well, but also if Barkley is able to break one. What the Chiefs are probably going to try to do is bring an extra man, a safety, and come at Hurts and also stack the box for Barkley and make Hurts beat them through the air. If he's decisive and he can hit his receivers on time, the Chiefs are going to lose this game, because then they're going to have to make some room out in that secondary and probably account for that if he starts to hit him through the air, and that's when Barkley can do some damage. On the flip side, if the Chiefs are going to win this game, they will have to play that sound defense that they have all year. But on offense, they're just going to have to do what they do. Short passes, and the Eagles are going to allow them to do that, most likely. They'll allow them to throw those short passes, but then the Eagles will wrap you up. They're going to wrap you up right away. And they're going to try to limit you from making the big play. Travis Kelce, his specialty is making that catch and then that quick little spin move to get himself an extra 4, 5, 6 yards, sometimes 10, 15 yards. If they move the chains and Patrick Mahomes does what he does and doesn't turn the ball over, they can win this football game, but they're going to have to protect. The Eagles' defensive line is very good, and Jalen Carter, if they try to move him up against any of those inexperienced Chiefs offensive linemen, they had to make one little switch there. If that is possible for Carter to create some havoc, get into the backfield, or stop up anything they're trying to do at the line of scrimmage, that could be a problem. Brandon Graham, the defensive end for the Eagles, is also going to play in this game. He had a torn triceps, but he is going to play. I think it's going to be a very, very close football game. I've got the Eagles winning this game, and I'm going to have them winning it actually by a touchdown, 27-20. But I do think it's anybody's game. I think it will be close. I think it will be exciting, and I'm glad. I'm glad that there's a good football game between two very good teams, two very good coaches. I'm also glad that when it's over tonight, we shift our attention to baseball, to hockey, to soccer, to college basketball. There's so much for the sports fans out there who have been inundated with NFL content to relax, kick back, and enjoy a variety of sports that we here in St. Louis very much enjoy. At one point, we had a great NFL team in the St. Louis Rams, and we will highlight them coming up at 11:30 today. We'll look back at the greatest show on turf. We weren't able to get in touch with Dane and Hughes. Unfortunately, it's New Orleans, so the phones aren't working all that well. He's been pulled in a million different directions. Kind of hard to get a hold of the Chiefs radio analyst for this segment, but a good little look at overview of the game there here for the last 10 minutes. We're going to take a break. We'll go some college football with Josh Schertz, the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens. At 10:45, we're going to hear from Steve Chapman, the CMO, CRO, both of the St. Louis Blues, the executive vice president. And then we're going to hear from Lutz Van and Steel and Bernie Miklas, among other things, greatest show on turf in the 11 o'clock hour. Back in a moment, sports on a Sunday morning on this Super Bowl Sunday on KMOX.
He hits a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We're back on the show. Our Billiken Report is sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We welcome in the head coach of St. Louis University, Josh Schertz, is on KMOX. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great. I know you're immersed in basketball, but who you got in this Super Bowl? You going Chiefs, Eagles? Who you got?
I'm in Missouri. I got to go with the Chiefs. Plus, either a doink field goal to win it, or if Philly needs a field goal, a doink not to win it. So they've been amazing. What have they won, like 20 one-score games in a row or something? So I can't bet against Mahomes and Andy Reid for sure.
I hear you.
Really couldn't.
I am taking the Eagles, but I think that's a good call for you. My wife grew up in Philadelphia, so we are an Eagles household today without a doubt. Yeah.
Gotcha. Smart on your part. Can't go against the wife.
Yeah. Smart on my part. Did you grow up Jets, Giants?
I was a Giants fan growing up. So, my brother and I were always opposite. So, I was Giants, he was Jets, I was Yankees, he's Mets, I was Knicks, he was Nets. So, I was Rangers, he was Islanders. So, yeah, growing up as a kid, I was always, for some reason, we were opposites. But, yeah, I went to Giants games when I was a kid, and the Phil Sims era and Bill Parcells era was a pretty good one.
Man, those were some great times, weren't they? I mean, what a team that was.
Amazing.
Back in the day. LT running things on that defense with Harry Carson and everybody. They were the first to do the Gatorade dump. They're the ones who invented it.
Yeah, they invented the Gatorade dump. Those were amazing teams and full of characters and incredible. What the run they had there and that. Era. It was a good time to be a New York sports fan for sure.
And Parcells just commanded the room and the sideline. He is one of the great coaches of all time. What do you remember from him, and what did you learn from him, if anything?
Yeah, I just think he was a larger than life, or you know, as a coach, he's still obviously alive, but it was a larger than life figure. I think you know, the way he got guys to buy in. I think, like all great coaches, you know, there was a, you know, he got guys to trust him, believe in him, follow him. He got guys to really be committed. The whole was greater than the individual parts, even though they had amazing individual parts, and they were just so solid on both ends of the ball. And like Andy Reid, you know, they were at their best in the moments of truth at the end of games. You know, to be an elite team, you got to be at your best when it matters most. And they were in the, not just the playoffs, but in those tight games that you got to find a way to get across the finish line. They were amazing in those scenarios.
Yes, they were. And, you know, I think Giants, Yankees go together, right? Mets, Jets. That's pretty typical, yeah, for New York. But I felt like, and pretty I know, typical. Yeah, go ahead.
No, pretty typical. Yeah, my brother was on the opposite end, but yeah, I got the better end of that deal, and as kids, for sure.
Yeah, you did. And then I've always felt like, I know you mentioned Nets, and I know the Brooklyn Nets are out there, but tell me if I'm wrong here, but, and I love New York. New York is, and by the way, I'm a Knicks fan. I need to say this about the Knicks. I grew up, my dad, one of his best friends, lived in New York City, and we didn't have an NBA team here, so when I was a little kid, I went to the Garden, I saw Patrick Ewing play his rookie year, and I'm like, all right, I'm in. I'm a Knicks fan. Yep. But this is how I've always felt, is that in New York, you have Giants, Jets, you have Yankees, Mets, you have Rangers, Islanders, etc. But when the Knicks are good, in Manhattan especially, they take over the town. They are the town. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely agree with that. The Knicks are, you know, I mean, it's Madison Square Garden, the mecca, you know, of basketball. You saw the game, you know, with even just St. John's and UConn. You know what I mean? That's just a historic, like, I think probably as historic or iconic a venue as there is for basketball. And New York loves hoops. And when the Knicks are good, like you said, those that era with, you know, with the rivalry with the Pacers and you know what I mean, and the Bulls, and then eventually it transformed the Heat, right? And you know, with Riley making the move, and you know, it was just incredible. And nothing better than when the Knicks are good, like playoffs in April, May are about as good as you could be around when they're rolling and there's a big game in the mecca of college, in mecca of basketball.
Have you enjoyed the A-10 so far? And I know you're faced with a lot of challenges here, and you're concentrating, of course, on winning basketball games. But the fact that you are traveling to the East Coast multiple times, kind of back in some of the areas where you grew up. Heck, your first game was in the Bronx against Fordham. I didn't really ask you about that, but that's got to be rewarding for you to be back up in there.
Yeah, it beats being in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Carbondale, Illinois, and Valparaiso, Indiana. I can assure you. I've enjoyed the trips we've won on a lot more than the ones we haven't. But no, it's the league is cool in that way, where you're in these larger cities. And so, like, being in Philadelphia for a couple of days, being in, you know, we obviously Amherst is out there, but you know, Massachusetts and starting, like you said, in the Bronx against Fordham. There's a lot of amazing trips. Really good cities. It's a great league. I've been, you know, amazed going through it. You know, I knew it was good coming into it. I mean, I'm not like surprised by that. I think I'm surprised at how good. And you know, and people look at it, I think maybe their perspective is different than mine. It's like, oh, well, there's just a lot of, you know, mediocrity or whatever the case may be, or there's all these kind of, you know, average, below average teams. Like, no, the reality is like St. Bonaventure was 12-1, Rhode Island was 12-1 non-conference. And, you know, they have below 500 league because that's how good the league is. Dayton, you know what I mean? Like, those wins were real, you know, that what they had. And they have, whatever, 5 losses in the league. And it's the opposite of me. I'm amazed at the parity of the league. And really, you know, almost 1 through 15, there's not a game on there you're like, ah, we can basically, you know, check that one as a win. Every league I've been in, there's one or two where you're at least where you could say, hey, we're probably going to get that one. This league, the parity of it, top to bottom, you know, is remarkable, absolutely remarkable. So, you know, that's been amazing to me. They said the most so far.
Philadelphia is a heck of a basketball town, man. It's just a different feel. I know we're talking about the Eagles today, and everybody's going to be discussing their football history. And, of course, we all know hockey and baseball have had their moments there, too. But that is a basketball town to me. That Big Five, Penn, LaSalle, St. Joseph's, Temple, Villanova. You got to throw Drexel in there as well. You know, I've never been to a game at the Palestra. That is something I have to do. I am absolutely going to do at some point.
I'd agree with you. I'd been in Philadelphia recruiting, but I never spent time there until we flew in, and I didn't realize, you know, like, I knew they were close. They were all in the same city. I didn't realize how close. I mean, St. Joe's and Villanova, you could basically, you know, walk to their campuses. I mean, everything is packed in there, is super close. And, great, great basketball city. And the Palestra, I agree with you. I've not been there either, but it's something I really want to do. And it's so cool, you know, the way they do it, you know, the way they play the Big Five and the way they schedule. And I think they play pickup all summer. And those five or six schools, like a different school hosts each week, and the college players get together and play against each other. So, like, there's a level of, familial atmosphere for those schools in terms of they compete. But, you know, they play each other every year. The guys play pickup in the summer. And it seems like coaches, they spend their whole life in Philly, you know, and Fran Dunphy is probably the best example of that. But it's like it's a really unique, I've never seen it in basketball, but a really unique setup and unique atmosphere and environment in Philadelphia for college basketball.
It is. This is Josh Schertz, the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens. St. Louis is a great basketball town, and there's no doubt about that. We've seen all the great players that have come out of here, and we saw what the atmosphere can be like at Chaffetz Arena on that Friday night against Dayton. Take me to Philly, the St. Joe's game. I watched it. I still see some of the struggles that Robbie is going through. Just your overview of what happened in that game now that you've reviewed it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought, you know, it's been weird. And I think, you know, watch on film, the first 15, 16 minutes were pretty good. I thought our defense was a little up and down offensively. First 15, 16 minutes, I thought we were really good. I thought we attacked the way we're being guarded the best we have. I thought we Kalu was great cutting, playing without the ball, found his way to some easy baskets. Thought we attacked what they were doing well. Thought we had some breakdowns defensively. We got a little bit fortunate. They missed some shots. End of the half, couple turnovers on some plays, you know, that weren't there that we tried to make. And then, you know, Reynolds with late on a transition ball screen to be up to touch, and then he makes a tough three to end the half. But going to half, first half, there was a lot of good stuff. I thought second half, we got beat up on the glass. Thought our physicality, our effort, energy wasn't as good. We're not the most athletic team. We're not the biggest team. We're not the deepest team. We can't afford to lose physicality for a moment. I don't think our guys aren't trying, but I think there was points in the game where we got physically overwhelmed. I thought Kobe kept us in it. Obviously, you know, losing Gibb in the first 2 minutes of the second half didn't help things. He's obviously, you know, been without, in my opinion, you know, our most consistent player. And we shifted the zone to try to protect the guys. We had, you know, Kobe and Swope had three fouls apiece, and we were down without Gibb to, you know, just one guard sub. So if those guys fouled out, we would have been playing multiple centers. So, it was kind of by necessity. And at the end of the day, it's 61-57, under five to play, and we have a good look at a layup on kind of a fortunate bounce. And, you know, we miss a layup, and to cut it to two, Fleming makes a three. We come down, get fouled, 1-1, miss the front end. They come down, Finkley makes a three that bounced off the rim and goes in, and that's kind of game. And, you know, we've got to be better. The reality is we got to be better. We know. I mean, it's we've been a no-excuse team all year. Losing Gibb, I mean, you got to figure it out with the eight guys you have. And we had a chance there at the end and didn't get it done. Certainly Robbie's got to be better. He knows that. I've got to do a better job of helping him. Same thing with Swope. But it's not just one or two guys. We've got to be better in a lot of different areas. It doesn't get any easier on Tuesday night.
No, absolutely not. At least Kobe Johnson has taken the bull by the horns and has played really well when you have needed him. And there are some others, too. Dylan Warlick jumped in there. Max Picard jumped in there. What is the situation with Jimerson? What can you tell us about his prognosis?
Yeah, so, I mean, he hurt his ankle, tweaked his ankle. You know, it was, you know, Gibbs about as tough a player as I've coached. So if he couldn't go back in, you know, nobody's going back in. He's not a guy that, you know, I've coached him now for, you know, whatever it is, 10 months, and 8 months, whatever it is. And you know, he's never missed a practice, never sat out of a practice, never, you know, game, anything. So, you know, I know it had to be pretty significant. You know, he saw the training staff yesterday. We were off yesterday. The players were. And we'll practice today. So, you know, we'll see where he's at. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think it's not anything severe. But I don't know that, you know, I can give you if he's going to be able to go Tuesday or not. I would think that, you know, kind of see how he feels today, see how he feels tomorrow, see how he feels on Tuesday and put him as questionable. And we'll kind of see how it unfolds over these next 48 hours.
Sure, appreciate that. And we'll check in with you when we get to the gym on Tuesday and see what happens. They're going to be playing George Mason, the Billikens will. Another huge game. I mean, they have one after the other at home. VCU, Dayton. Now here comes George Mason, 19-5. Just last thing here, a quick scouting report of George Mason. They're legit. I mean, you talk about some of the better teams in the league. They are one of them, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're in first place, 10-1. You know, it's a huge game for us. On our home floor, they're tremendous. Top 10 defense in America. They're big. They switch. They've got a bunch of, you know, I don't think they play anybody under 6'4". They're you know, massive in size. They got two big bruisers. The kid Haynes and the post is as good a big man as there is in the Atlantic 10. So we have our hands full. They're an elite defense, and they're an offense that, like, you know, yesterday they got it going, scored 82. Against Rhode Island and won big at home, but 10-1 in the league, in first place by themselves, and much like the VCU, it's on the same par to me as the, you know, the VCU Dayton game. You got one of the better teams in the A-10 and an NCAA tournament caliber team coming in, and we got to play our best. But certainly the environment that we had, you know, VCU, the environment we had Dayton, we're going to need our fans as well. And so the hope is, you know, our guys walk in and it's a great crowd. Should be a whale of a basketball game Tuesday night, and I'm hoping our crowd is as good as it's been, because they've been spectacular.
Nothing
here,
better.
The last, you know, yeah, I mean, since conference play, I mean, going back to, we've had some big home wins with St. Joe's and St. Bonaventure and obviously VCU, and it's a chance for another one here against George Mason Tuesday night.
Nothing like a riled up student section and a big crowd, and hopefully that place is on fire again. Thanks again for doing all of this. Appreciate the time. I kept you a little long, but it's always great to talk some ball with you. I appreciate you. Thank you, Coach.
Hey, appreciate it. Always glad being on. See you soon, Tom. See you Tuesday night.
See you Tuesday. Josh Schertz, head coach of the St. Louis Billikens. When we come back, Steve Chapman, the CRO, CMO of the St. Louis Blues on KMOX. Well, thank goodness for Radek Foxa, because his goal in the 10th round of the shootout last night ended a long one against the Blackhawks. Who knows? They might have still been going all night. After a 6-5 shootout win, the Blues can take a breath, and they can go into this break knowing that they have a victory under their belt. Saturday's sold-out home game against the Blackhawks marked the last game before the 2-week Four Nations face-off break and the lone appearance of the Winter Classic with a terrific, terrific job for the Blues on that against the Blackhawks up at Wrigley Field. They're going to have all kinds of good stuff coming their way, no doubt about it, and joining us is Steve Chapman, the Blues Chief Revenue Officer and Chief Marketing Officer on KMOX. Chappie, how are you?
Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great.
A little bit of everything last night in the game, huh?
Jeez. I mean, they got it done, didn't they? Always wild against the Blackhawks, but the Blues got the job done. That had to have been satisfying for your office.
It was. I mean, it's a little bit of a roller coaster ride, you know, with some of these games, but you know, a 10-man shootout. You don't get to see that every day, so that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it really was. The Blues, explain this to fans who don't know about the Four Nations Face-Off, what that is. The NHL and NHLPA came together to create this and are going to split revenues for this, Steve?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's kind of a precursor to the Olympics. Next year there'll be an Olympic break, obviously, and you know, looking for an event that will help bring the best in hockey together. And so USA, Canada, Finland, Sweden. It's a four nations tournament that will be best on best. Should be exciting. Games in Montreal, the championship in Boston. And, yeah, fans are looking forward to it. We're looking forward to it. And the other thing I think is it's a nice little break, and then you have this, you know, this push down the last stretch of the season. So it should be a lot of fun.
It should be, and I look forward to seeing how that all pans out. Certainly it's a lot of fun to see the best take on the best. And I also wanted to give some attention to this because you're going to play Saturday night. You're going to come home back from the break against Winnipeg on February 22nd. That's significant enough, but it's also going to be your first over-the-air TV broadcast that I can remember. A new local partnership with KMOV, Matrix Midwest, and a 10-market network of Gray Media affiliates across five states. What a neat opportunity.
Yeah, we're excited about it. And to your point, I mean, if you haven't seen it, I know it's been a while. I've been in St. Louis for 10 years, and it's obviously the first time we've had a chance. You know, Tom, it's a way, there's a lot of change going on in the media markets between streaming and over-the-air and regional sports networks. And we just had an opportunity to do this, right, to be able to put the games on over-the-air channels throughout the Blues territory, the Blues television territory. And so we're looking forward to it. Gray, KMOV, Matrix Midwest, J.D. Sosnov, and those guys over there have been great friends to the Blues. And the opportunity to do this and get the Blues onto over-the-air channels is just something we wanted to offer to fans, and let's see what the reaction to it is.
It's the first Blues games broadcast over the air since the 2008-2009 season. I mean, when I grew up, the games were on Channel 11 with Ken Wilson, oh baby, as the Blues would play these games and we'd all gather around the TV. And you'll now have that opportunity. You'll have the Jets on the 22nd, the Kings on the 8th, the Canadiens on the 25th, and then you have Victory Plus. Well, that is the streaming device that you were just talking about. The team's broadcast territory, Victory Plus, is where you'll be able to stream, not the FanDuel Sports Network app for those contests.
That's right. So any way that you choose to consume the Blues on this is up to you, right? Like, there's a number of over-the-air opportunities. You know, you can do anything from go buy a $15 antenna at your local electronics store and hook it up to your television and be able to pick up these games, or obviously through your cable provider or whatever. But if neither of those work, if you happen to be in an area that is challenging or on your phone or whatever, just download the Victory Plus app, and for free, you can stream the game. So, again, we're just trying to find the best ways to get, you know, the product in front of people, and we're testing a lot of different avenues. It is kind of interesting, you know, that comment you made. I told somebody the other day, it's amazing how what's old becomes new again, right? Because, you know, you mentioned that. I remember growing up, I obviously didn't grow up in St. Louis, but I remember growing up, and you just, you know, you flipped on the Red Sox game, you flipped on the Bruins game, you flipped on all of that. So, it's an interesting opportunity for us. We're looking forward to it. We have a great partnership with FanDuel. They do a great job. But with this window to try this and just see what the fan reaction is, we're looking forward to testing it.
Heck, I just went down to the Record Exchange on Hampton in South City, and I bought a Pioneer record player, a pair of speakers, and an amp. I mean, I'm back, and I can hear it. It's crisp. It sounds good. I mean, it's kind of fun, a little nostalgia. Yeah. But this is different because that Victory Plus app, so like I have a Samsung TV in our living room, you can just download the app on the TV. This isn't just, you know, obviously talking about your device. Very easy to be able to watch it on your TV.
Very, very much so. So, I mean, think about it. You can, you know, if you live in St. Louis, you flip on Channel 4 on the 22nd and that evening. I mean, what a great opportunity to be able to broadcast the Blues on a major local network, right? Mm-hmm. And so flip it that way, you can do it. You can, you know, you can watch for free by just downloading the Victory Plus app. We're going to gather a lot of information, and we're going to, you know, try to use the fan reaction to this to help us gauge, you know, what we think might happen in the future, because the world's changing. And, you know, the way people consume their media, the way people consume their local sports is just evolving. And we have to learn more and more about the way that our fans want to do that. And it, like I said, it is interesting because it, old becomes new again. And I'm with you, man. I bought a Bluetooth record player about 2 years ago, and it's just a lot of fun. But it's like, wow, these the more things change, the more they kind of stay the same.
I know. It's a little dangerous putting me into a record store. I could walk out with a lot of vinyl. So I'm just kind of
right. Hey, by the way, how about how much these records cost these days? I'm like, what the heck?
I know. You gotta really mine for the good deals. Just in about a minute left, who you got tonight? Who you got? Eagles, Chiefs. I know you're an all around sports fan.
I am. And by the way, I'm not on the hate the Chiefs bandwagon. We got a lot of good friends over there, and I think it's wonderful what they've done for the area. I know there's a lot of Chiefs fans in St. Louis. I got to tell you though, I think the Eagles are going to win. I just think they got between Barkley and I'm a big, you know, big Jalen Hurts fan, just a class act. And he's just one of those guys who has a will. So I think it's going to be a great football game. It could go either way. But if you ask me, I think Philly's going to find a way to win today.
I agree with you. I think the Eagles are going to win. But if the Chiefs do win and it's three in a row, I won't be one of those who hates on them. I will appreciate greatness, and you'll be able to say you were around to see it happen. So who knows?
I agree. It's two great football teams. And I mean, what else can you ask for? That you and I grew up in an era where sometimes the Super Bowl was a blowout, and we just haven't seen that in years, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Well, congratulations on the win last night on this new deal with not only Matrix Midwest, but Victory Plus and the over-the-air opportunity with KMOV. Have a great break during this Four Nations incredible matchup. I think it's going to be fun to watch all of this, the Four Nations face off, and we will catch up with you real soon. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Tommy. Appreciate you, bud.
You too. Steve Chapman, Executive Vice President. He's the Chief Revenue and Marketing Officer for the St. Louis Blues. We'll come back after the news.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
News with all kinds of goodies for you as we get ready for Super Bowl 59. Stay tuned.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Back on the show. It's been fun so far talking to a couple of people I like a whole lot. Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Billikens, and Steve Chapman, the CMO-CRO of the St. Louis Blues. We have upcoming Lutz Fan and Steele and Bernie Miklas. Like them both. Love these conversations on Sports on a Sunday Morning. At 11:30, we look back at the greatest offense the league has ever seen, the 1999 St. Louis Rams. 25 years ago, they won the Super Bowl, the only one in our city's history and one of the tremendous moments in St. Louis sports history. Couple of people to keep an eye on in the Super Bowl with local ties. I'm going to tell you about a St. Louisan in just a minute. But former Missouri Tigers Nick Bolton and Charles Harris are one win away from becoming Super Bowl champions. The problem is the only one of them is going to get it. Bolton is in his fourth season with the Chiefs. He is in search of his third consecutive Super Bowl crown. Boy, he has been just a fantastic player. Bolton has started every game for the Chiefs this season. 99 tackles, 3 sacks, an interception, a forced fumble, 6 tackles in the AFC Championship game. He was a great player at Mizzou. First team All-SEC for Missouri in 2019 and 2020. Then he was drafted in the second round by the Chiefs in 2021. As for Harris, Harris is looking for his first ring with the Philadelphia Eagles. He is in his 8th NFL season, played in 9 games this season for the Carolina Panthers with 21 tackles and 3 sacks, and then he was acquired by the Eagles, and he's played in 4 games for Philly this year. He is a Kansas City native, second team All-SEC in 2015 and 2016, first round pick by the Dolphins in 2017, and Bolton is from Frisco, Texas. But from St. Louis, and the only one, by the way, playing in this game who is from St. Louis, do you know who it is? It's Tershawn Wharton, defensive tackle for the Chiefs. 6'1", 280 pounds from right here in St. Louis. He is from U-City. He attended Maplewood Richmond Heights High School for his first 3 seasons. Then he transferred to University City High School as a senior. How good was he as a senior? How about 110 tackles, 4 sacks, and an interception? First team All-Suburban Central Conference. Then he went on to Missouri S&T. That is located in Rolla. And what did he do at Rolla? A Division II program. First team All-Great Lakes Valley Conference. 64 tackles, 13 and a half sacks his sophomore season. His junior and senior season, he was at 7.5 sacks both years. First team All-GLVC in each season, sophomore, junior, and senior. He finished his collegiate career. This is Tershawn Wharton, the St. Louis native, who is playing in the Super Bowl today for the Kansas City Chiefs. Finished his collegiate career 58 tackles for loss and 35.5 sacks. Now, not many people are going to come out of Missouri at S&T and get drafted. And he was not drafted. Wharton was signed, however, by the Chiefs as an undrafted free agent April 27, 2020. What a great decision that was by Kansas City. He made the roster out of training camp, made his debut that season, made 2 tackles in a win, and here he is still playing. Now, he tore his ACL in 22. He came roaring back in 23, 21 tackles, two sacks, and a fumble recovery. And he had a sack or had a tackle in the Super Bowl last year against the 49ers. But he is back. He is playing for the Chiefs this year. He is the only St. Louisan in the Super Bowl, so somebody to keep an eye on. Number 98, Tershawn Wharton, the defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. Proud to call him one of our own, the U-City native. Heck, I used to live in U-City, Drew. He might well have knocked on our door trick-or-treating, for all I know, back in the day. I might have seen little Tershawn, and now here he is, big time, playing in the Super Bowl. That's pretty cool. I like that a lot. So something to keep an eye on today. Again, I've got the Eagles winning this game, but I'm not hating on the Chiefs. I still go back to something that Larry Fitzgerald told me on this very show, Sports on a Sunday Morning, where he said, you know, I always told him I root for the underdog cities. I look for the cities who haven't won, that have suffered, Buffalo, and a more tortured extent, Cleveland. They don't get to do anything football-wise, although Ohio State just won, but that doesn't satisfy Browns fans necessarily. But Fitzgerald said no, actually, not for me. He said, I root for and watch and enjoy the dynasties. And he likes the teams that exude greatness and that stay great and create their moment in time for history. And the Chiefs certainly are accomplishing that. So if the Chiefs do win this football game, I think that the respect for a team that has won three in a row will be and should be immense. There will be haters, and that's fine. It's usually directed towards the fan base. You know, the Cardinals went through this. Not that they won three championships in a row. They won one in 06. They had been to the World Series in 04 prior, but they went to the World Series in 04, went to the World Series in 06 and won it, went back to the World Series in 11 and won it, and then went to the World Series again in 13 and lost to the Red Sox. That's four World Series trips in a decade. That's a lot. People can get tired of you. I think the Patriots are the best example of it, a team that kept winning and winning, and people hated on them. So Chiefs fans, it comes with the territory. Whether you're a St. Louis-based Chiefs fan, Kansas City, or anywhere else, doesn't matter. It's the team that you chose. It's absolutely fine. It's the NFL. Everybody's picking teams and rooting for a league that is so widespread. But I wouldn't worry about the haters. Just brush it off. You won't worry about it, I know. Go on and celebrate a third straight championship. But I do think you're going to lose today. I think the Eagles are going to win this game today. I think that they have a machine of a team right now. And as good as Mahomes has been, again, don't give him the ball with 2 minutes to go and 7 points or less to make up, because he will make it up or win the game. But if he doesn't get that opportunity and the Eagles are able to put the game away, they will do it because of an excellent offensive line, Saquon Barkley, and Jalen Hurts is going to have to be on his game. He is not even the best Jalen on the field, though. That would be Jalen Carter. The defensive lineman for the Eagles could be a real problem today. I think the Eagles' offensive line is better than the Chiefs' offensive line even, and the Eagles' defensive line will have to try to take advantage of that. These games are won and lost on the line of scrimmage, and I think that's something absolutely to watch today. While everybody talks about Mahomes and Kelce and Barkley and Smith and Brown and all these guys and Hurts, the offensive and defensive lines are what to watch today, along with your calorie intake. It doesn't count today. Just eat and drink all you want, safely, please. Let's take a break. When we come back, Lutz Fan and Steel, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC on KMOX. All right, let's get into it. Chris Durkin with Jen Cease.
I just saw you at the MAC Trophy Awards, which was awesome to see you and your wife there. Mm-hmm. I know it's not the same as being in season, but did it stir a little bit of, like, it's getting ready to get started with that kind of award that happens in St. Louis?
Yeah, I never knew that it was there. It was exciting, for sure. Kind of felt imposter syndrome because I never really played college soccer. So
that would be really unusual for somebody to be there as a pro at top levels in a game and, by the way, can feel like that.
Yeah. No, it's just because I... it was an award for college soccer, and well, I'm the guy there that hasn't played college soccer.
You took a different path.
Yeah, and I'm happy with my path, but it was funny. I really liked, didn't know as much about that side of it as I did, but when I was there, it was actually really fun to see everything.
And I understand, I was just kind of listening to the latest updates. You're not 100% yet, but close?
Close, yeah. We're trending in the right direction. Just started to get him on the field and pass the ball around, feeling strong. Yeah, really excited to get back into it.
I tore both knees. I've torn an ankle before, and one of the parts that rehab sucks, it's boring. You're isolated sometimes from the team. But I found sometimes I think I learned a bit more about myself in those injuries. What have you learned through injury that will make you a better player?
Yeah. Well, I would go back to the saying that, you know, people come back stronger from their injuries. I think I always thought that they came back stronger physically. You know, they put more work into it, but mentally, I think, is where you make those gains. For me, it's just the hunger associated with being back on the field, being grateful for every day that you get to step on that field. You know, maybe it just gets lost in the monotony of every day. It feels like this is normal, but no, it's not normal. It's a blessing to be on the field, and I'm just going to be so grateful when I lace up the boots, get back out there with the guys, and really cherish those moments.
Been through changes with the team. The team's seen a lot of changes in 3 years. Coach Olaf, he brings his own fine resume as a center back, top of his game as well. When it comes to him leading the team and you kind of training, but being a little bit on the outside looking in, what have you seen the most with his interaction with the team that excites you?
Yeah, I think, you know, he definitely has an aura and a presence that demands respect. And I think his resume doesn't lie. He's been at the highest levels, and he has habits and knowledge of what it's like to be there. And he does a good job of imparting that on everybody else. And he has the same standards, I would say, that he had for himself, he has for us. So I think that's fantastic for the group. I think that having a center back who sees everything from behind up, I think is beneficial, him understanding that. So I think we've lacked a bit of defensive structure, especially in the past year, just allowing too many goals. So I think he'll bring a lot more stability.
He's said more than once, talking about nonstop players, and I chuckle because I'm like, Chris Durkin is always a nonstop player. But I wonder sometimes if he's not just talking about the fact that it's physical, but mentally dialed in, like never losing that mental focus. What are your thoughts on nonstop players from that perspective?
Yeah, I think he's really harped on the fact that the players that play at the best level are focused for 90 plus minutes, and those lapses in focus cause goals, mistakes, and that's what we want to try and eliminate, because that means losses. So I think the constant attention on being nonstop in everything that we do, I think, is a really valuable goal to achieve.
That is Chris Durkin. I think he's a fascinating personality and very good talent for this City team. Jen Cease doing a nice job there, and City pulled out a 1-1 tie with Austin Saturday in preseason play. Thomas Totland had the goal in the 88th minute for City as they win in the Coachella Valley Invitational. That is part of their preseason right now. They're going to play Wednesday against New York City FC. Here is City SC's Miguel Perez, the hometown product. Let's take a listen.
Great to see you again. How does it feel to be back?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't be more excited to be back in St. Louis. I mean, it's just unbelievable to be back.
It's hard to go away, right? But there are lessons that you learn when you go away and you play somewhere else. What were the things that you worked on that you've now, you're coming back with City and training with the first team again, that you feel like you're bringing back to your game that you didn't maybe have a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, last year, I mean, it was tough for me just going down there and not playing as much. But since I'm back now, I think just having confidence in going in and playing what I can do, to be able to showcase on what I can do on the field and off the field, I'd say just living on my own and coming back it's good now.
Particular skills or tactics or techniques that you feel like you worked on not being with the team, bringing back, that like this is what I can insert into my game that I didn't really have maybe in year one with the team?
Going down there, I mean, I've for sure learned a lot, just being what it takes to be a pro. Just coming back, I think I can showcase a lot what I learned down there, and I'm going to do what I can here in St. Louis.
All right, for all the little guys who are dreaming of being a pro, you've been there. You've had to kind of work on things. What's your message to little kids dreaming big?
Ever since I was young, I dreamed to become a professional soccer player, but just go out there and work hard. Keep going. I mean, so you can train more than once a day. So I think just going out there working hard and do your best.
Thought about about asking you about your mental focus? I heard Coach Olaf talk a few times about having nonstop players. And I don't think he's talking about just being physically fit, but saying mentally tuned into the game the entire time. Do you do anything at practices, between, or in games where you try to make sure you're tuned in mentally?
For me, once the ball goes out of bounds, free kick, foul, I think I'm just looking up, getting behind the ball, and just make sure I'm focused for the next action. There's 90 minutes of the game, and you can't reflect off one mistake you have. So I think this focus on the next action is going to be huge.
That is Miguel Perez with Gen Cease. Very nice job there, talking to the homegrown product about a number of things, being back in St. Louis, what he's done while he's been away, his advice to some youth players, and talking about nonstop players right there. Coach Olaf Melberg has talked about that. Focus on the next action is what he has told his players, and Miggy is taking that to heart. There's also this very nice job by City to do this. They are actually putting a Super Bowl ad out there today. So when you watch the big game tonight, you are going to see a commercial from St. Louis City SC. It is a strategic ad placement, part of a larger initiative, a regional ad initiative by Major League Soccer to promote the league during the Super Bowl. This is a smart move. The ad will air today on Fox 2 while you're watching the game. The team says it will highlight the electrifying atmosphere at Energizer Park. The viewers here in St. Louis will get a glimpse of what that looks like, as City has experienced a lot of it in 2 years. And now, believe it or not, we are 2 weeks away, less than two, before the February 22nd home opener against the Colorado Rapids. Diego Giuliani, the president and GM of City, says, quote, "We are beyond excited to be a part of this innovative initiative. This game is consistently the most watched TV event in the United States, and having the opportunity to bring further awareness of our club and our incredible fans to the broader St. Louis audience is an opportunity we could not pass up. We hope this ad will resonate with viewers and invite more St. Louisans to experience the passion of St. Louis City SC." I like that, more St. Louisans, because yes, there will be people that are going to travel in for these games, but for right now, if you're listening to this station, you are in the St. Louis area most likely, and if you have not been to a City game, it's probably time to do that. It is a phenomenal experience, really outside the stadium before you go in to Energizer Park. But MLS across the board is growing, and a lot of these teams are trying to capitalize on this sort of attention. And so they are buying this ad, the partnering, and putting it on the Super Bowl broadcast. And think about this. Is there ever going to be a bigger time for soccer in this country than next year when the World Cup is here in North America? So St. Louis City SC is likely to host one of those teams. They will train here, I would imagine, this incredible building that's just blocks away from where we're sitting here at KMOX in downtown St. Louis, about a $1 billion complex. What an incredible opportunity that would be for a World Cup team to be here. So really an exciting time. Well, it was an exciting time 25 years ago, right around this time. We had a parade. We had a celebration. We had the top of the world to look forward to. St. Louis and the NFL, the Super Bowl champions, St. Louis Rams. The Lombardi Trophy was ours and is ours forever. When we come back, we'll relive the greatest show on turf. I'm Tom Ackerman. This is KMOX.
Pelicans win! Pelicans win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We are back, sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. We're going to get into the greatest show on turf in just a moment. The Cardinals have announced Bring Back, here's a throwback, a name from the past. Rob Kaminsky has signed a minor league contract for the 2025 season. If that name rings a bell, he was their first-round pick in 2013. He made his MLB debut in 2020. Rob Kaminsky has signed a minor league deal with the Cardinals as they continue to sign a few names here and there. Why not give it a shot? Cardinals Player Development sending that out on their Twitter page, their X page, Cards Player Dev. I would highly recommend that's a good follow, especially with this group that is running things right now. I would think they're going to be even more active. I have said that the Cardinals need to be more transparent, but also as active as possible with their fans, especially those who do follow the prospects, the signings. Now, in the case of Kaminsky, he is someone who's been around for a while, and so is this one. This was announced a day or two ago. Nick Anderson was signed by the Cardinals to a minor league contract with a non-roster invite to spring training. Anderson's 34 years old. He's a right-hander. Appeared in 165 games across five major league seasons. He debuted in 2019. Career ERA of 3.18 and a 31.6% strikeout percentage. That's pretty good. They have also, you know, announced a few things here and there about adding some pieces. And Adam Wainwright predicted that they would actually add some pieces here pretty soon. In fact, let me go to that. Before we talk about the greatest show, let me see if I can find that. Yeah, this is Adam Wainwright. So I talked to him about the Cardinals and his thought on this current plan. Here he is.
If it was as simple as going out and if you sign the best player, you're going to win no matter what, then golly, I mean, that would be an obvious decision, right? Go out and sign the best player. But it's so hard to win. I mean, the Dodgers just won the World Series title this last year, but they've won the division I don't know how many years in a row. They've been in the playoffs I don't know how many years in a row since we were back in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, when I feel like we had the best team in baseball in 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, and we only won one of those. And one of those, we missed the playoffs entirely. So it's just not an easy thing.
This is Adam Wainwright with me saying it's not an easy thing to win. Here he is on the Cardinals' plan.
I know they have a plan. I know sometimes those plans aren't always what the fans want to see. The fans want to see the best players put out there to give them the best chance to win. I want to see that too, man. I hope they go out and sign all the players. But that's just not how the business model works. That's not how their model's working. I do think that they're going to try to pull off a couple of things before – spring training, but I also don't know that. I'm not in it. You know, I wish I was more in it to know these answers when people ask me, but I have immense respect for Mo and Mr. DeWitt and the plan that they've put in place. I think Mo's going to be, you know, borderline Hall of Fame general manager when you look back at his career and what he was able to do.
That's Adam Wainwright on KMOX. Now, he and Mo obviously are very close, but he's not far off. I know John Mozeliak gets a ton of criticism, but Mozeliak's body of work, Organization of the Year, Executive of the Year, he's had some very good moments in his career as his career winds down here. Normally does join us at 11:30, was unable to do so. He and I texted yesterday. His schedule just didn't allow it today, but we certainly will reconnect with him as baseball begins this week. Pitchers and catchers report. Matt Pauly's heading down there tomorrow. Mike Claiborne is there already. Ricky Horton will be there. John Rooney. We're going to have a number of people reporting back to us from spring training. And the games start February 22nd when the Cardinals take on the Marlins at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. And I thought some good stuff there from Adam Wainwright just to put it in perspective as to where the Cardinals situation is right now. You can hear that full interview on our Total Information AM podcast page at KMOX.com. Well, 25 years ago, the journey was one game from completion. And we all know the story by now, even if you weren't born when the Rams won the Super Bowl, which is still hard for me to believe, but it 25 years goes by fast. I was there with the team starting in 97. I saw them in 97, 98 struggle to gain traction. Dick Vermeil had taken over as coach and just could never get it going. Remember the Tony Banks saga and all the issues they drafted Lawrence Phillips. And it just, you know, this was a team that just could not get going. And then in 1999, it was like a dream. It all came together. Mike Martz was your offensive coordinator. Trent Green was your quarterback. Marshall Faulk was signed and was traded for. They brought him in from the Indianapolis Colts. And you had Isaac Bruce, who had already a strong start to his career. They drafted Torrey Holt. They had Orlando Pace. They had some pieces on defense. And then the dream became a nightmare. In the preseason, taking on the Chargers when Rodney Harrison ran into the leg of Green, the St. Louis kid, and tore his knee out for the season. They turned it over to Kurt Warner, and I remember that morning at Rams Park when he pounded on the table, Dick Vermeil did, and said, "We will rally around Kurt Warner. We will play good football." I was there sitting just a few feet from Coach Vermeil when he said that very thing. A number of us were. And the season just was unlike anything I had ever covered or will. They took the league by storm. They had everybody on their heels. They burst out to a tremendous start to the season. I remember they lost that Halloween game at Tennessee, and that would be a little something to come because they would get the Titans again after beating the Vikings in the playoffs, edging the Bucs in the NFC Championship game. They played in Atlanta on January 30th, 2000 against the Titans. And this game, wouldn't you know it, was tied after an early lead for the Rams. The Titans came back and tied the game until under 2 minutes to go on Westwood One, Kurt Warner under center.
Warner and the Rams, who have gone three and out, back-to-back possessions. They go under center with three receivers to the right, one to the left. Warner back to throw. Airs it out. Deep down the right side, and the pass is caught by Isaac Bruce. He breaks away at the 30. Bruce to the 20. Bruce to the 10. Touchdown. Touchdown, St. Louis Rams. Isaac Bruce, 73 yards. And the St. Louis Rams, for the moment, have the lead.
It was an incredible catch by Bruce. A great throw by Warner with a lot of air under it, but Bruce adjusted, made the catch, got by two defenders, and just snaked his way to the end zone. 73 yards for the score, and the Rams had the lead 23-16. But there was work to do. The great Steve McNair, the late Steve McNair, playing for the Titans, and this team was not going to give an inch. They actually took it down, and this game came down to inches. Final play, call, Howard David, Westwood One.
Shotgun for McNair. Takes the snap, looks to the right, throws, and is complete to Tyson at the one-yard line, and he stops short. The clock strikes 000. Kevin Dyson caught the ball, and Mike Jones made the tackle at the one-yard line to preserve a win for the St. Louis Rams in Super Bowl 34.
The greatest tackle in NFL history, one of the greatest games in NFL history, the St. Louis Rams. Super Bowl champions John Dockery of Westwood One on the field with Isaac Bruce.
I never doubted that we were going to win this game. You know, Tennessee definitely deserved to be here. They gave us all we could handle. It was a fight to the finish, one of the best games I've ever played in.
On the podium, Mike Tirico with Georgia Frontier.
Please take this Lombardi Trophy home to St. Louis. Share it with your great fans there and around the nation.
Georgia, what does it mean to you?
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone who is a native of St. Louis, who grew up in St. Louis, brought pro football back to St. Louis to bring the city its first pro football championship. What does it mean?
I'm so thrilled. I'm thrilled for St. Louis. I'm thrilled for the Rams. And it proves that we did the right thing in going to St. Louis. This trophy. This trophy belongs to our coach, our team, and our fans in St. Louis.
Yes, it does. And it came to St. Louis, all right. A massive parade down Market Street, Frontier, and the ownership and the management and the players looked back at them with pride.
I miss St. Louis. I'm so happy to be back. And I can't tell you, I haven't been to sleep. But you're so wonderful. I love you, and I'm so happy to be back and bring my team to my people. Thank you.
What a time that was. That was a cold day, too, and people were packed downtown to watch the St. Louis Rams come home and lift the Lombardi Trophy. It was unthinkable. I mean, for years, the St. Louis Cardinals never hosted a playoff game. Through all those years, even those great teams in the 1970s, when St. Louis was a football town. And here they were back again with an NFL team, and no doubt it was an NFL town. This team took over everything. They were bigger than the Cardinals, bigger than the Blues, bigger than anything you could imagine at that time. They were a rock concert everywhere they went, and they won the Super Bowl in 1999, finishing the deal in Atlanta over the Tennessee Titans. What an amazing, amazing time that was. Actually went back to the Super Bowl 2 years later in New Orleans, lost to the Patriots in Tom Brady's first Super Bowl victory. It really started what became a slow decline, even though they came back strong at 03. They couldn't get back there in 03. Had they won that Super Bowl, who knows, against the Patriots? Perhaps they're still here. Maybe they become a dynasty. It's just, you know, we'll never really know. But you can embrace the 1999 season and know that they did it. Those of us who witnessed it will never, ever forget it. We'll come back. Bernie Miklas joins us on KMOX. Our visit with Bernie Miklas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Bernie Miklas, how are you on this Super Bowl Sunday?
I'm doing great. You know, going to just enjoy the day. I hope it's a great game. I have a feeling it will be. And also, of course, looking forward to later in the week, players and catchers reporting, reporting to Jupiter, Florida for the opening of spring training.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that, too. As soon as this game is over, my attention goes to that and college basketball and hockey and soccer and all the things that are about to happen all at once. But certainly, I think it'd be a fun day. And I just reminisced about the greatest show on turf. Quick story. I was 24. So this is 1990. Yeah, I was 24 years old and was asked to anchor our coverage from the downtown studios if the Rams won. We were going to know that downtown was going to be crazy. So I anchored all of our coverage from here. What an honor that was. But I was, when Isaac Bruce scored on that 73-yard touchdown, I was in the middle of a pile of friends in an apartment in U City. And when Jones made the tackle, I ran out the door, got in my car, raced downtown. And when the network coverage ended, we started with local coverage here. And it was just an amazing night. I know that you, like I did, covered that team from start to finish, Bernie.
Absolutely. You know what I was doing, and this kind of hooks it into the fact that Super Bowl Sunday. You know what I was doing real late the last couple nights? And I would advise fans who want to get into the nostalgia of the 99 Rams and just appreciate all over again how great it was, just go to YouTube, not YouTube TV or not anybody's particular YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search 1999 Rams. There is so much on there. I mean, you can watch I'll just leave it at that. I watch the NFL films like 1 hour show about the 1999 Rams and relived all those great wins and all those great players and all these incredible plays. And it's 25 years later, Tom, and I don't mean to dwell on this too long, but one thing I kind of forgot about was how great that Rams defense was. You know, they had 7 pick sixes that year, 7. And we're second in the league in sacks, second in the league in terms of the opponent passer rating. My point being is like we associate the greatest show on turf Rams with offense, as we should. But they had one heck of a defense. I mean, really outstanding. And I think those guys kind of get overlooked in history.
I'm so glad that you said that. I remember getting into an argument, like one of those sports bar arguments, you know, where I said, well, they don't win the Super Bowl without defense. Guys are like, oh, you're crazy. What are you talking about? They were all offense. I'm like, no, actually, if you go back and look, I mean, I covered the team. Their defense was excellent. So I appreciate that, Byrne.
Yeah, that season they were 4th in fewest points allowed. They led the league in defensive touchdowns. They had 7 pick sixes. They were 6th in takeaways. They had the second most interceptions. They only allowed 19 touchdown passes, but they picked off 29. They were tied 1st in sacks. I mean, on and on and on and on. So anybody who says they didn't have a good defense is wrong. Be incorrect. I was gonna say something nastier, but I bit my tongue.
That's all right. So. Drew would have bleeped you. they literally won the Super Bowl on a defensive play.
Right.
Mike Jones
right.
making the tackle. What an amazing time that was. I think the Chiefs have gotten to this point actually because of defense. They are an excellent. We all know about Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, great offensive mind. They get the job done. They always seem to find a way. But they're not here without their defense, I don't think.
I totally agree, because it just wouldn't have happened if this had been a bad defense, because the Chiefs have not been able to outscore teams that would have put up a lot of points on their own defense had the defense been terrible. Listen, if the Chiefs win today, especially, I would make a case, and I don't think I'm wrong, and I don't think I'm being a homer, because he was a head coach in St. Louis, Steve Spagnuolo. This would be his 5th Super Bowl ring as a defensive coordinator in the NFL. And to me, he coached the all-time masterpiece, the 2007 season against the Patriots. The Giants were a 12.5-point underdog, and they were averaging the Patriots were averaging coming in about 37 points per game. So the Giants, as a 12.5-point underdog, they got in Brady's face all day because of the pass rush package that Spags put together. And a team that averaged 37 points per game during the season – he held them to 14 points. It's the greatest single game Super Bowl coaching performance defensively of all time. So if he gets a 5th, especially if he gets a 5th Super Bowl, how can he not be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
No, I agree.
Seriously.
And if he goes in, Jim Hanifin should be in. Don't you think?
Yeah, and I agree with that, but it's like Spags had has a coordinator title. So when you talk mm-hmm. to the greatest offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators in the Super Bowl era, there has not been a better defensive coordinator than Steve Spagnuolo, who's coordinated defenses for 2 different teams that won at least to right now a total of 4 Super Bowls.
No, amen to that. If the Chiefs win, it will be because 2 things: they contained Saquon Barkley, didn't let him break one, and secondly, they got into Jalen Hurts' head, because those blitzes, Bernie, if Spags is able to just slightly disrupt his timing, they should be okay. But easier said than done, the Eagles have some serious firepower.
You know, and again, I'm not trying to put everything on Steve Spagnuolo, but it's interesting if you look at his postseason history, as I did. I studied it. So he's had 18 games as the Chiefs defensive coordinator in the postseason, 18 games. The most a running back has ever gained against his defense is 89 yards in a game. And if you add the Giants games to it, he would have 23 total games as a defensive coordinator in the postseason. Only one time has a back ran for more than 100 yards against his defense. So he kind of comes up with some stuff to you know, do the best he can to negate a guy like Barkley. Let's see if he can get it done. I don't know. And I listen, the other thing, too, is his blitz packages and his creativity, and he comes up with stuff that they're like diabolical. They don't even use the stuff in the regular season. But then when the postseason starts, he saves it. He's got it in his pocket for these crazy blitzes. And Warren Sharp, who's one of the great football data analysts of all time, he came up with a thing this week where it showed where if when Jalen Hurts is pressured under, he's pressured to throw when he's under, and I'm not talking about scrambling. I'm talking about, you know, when he throws the ball, when he's being pressured, he was the worst quarterback in the NFL this year. And I know that sounds crazy, but Warren Sharp laid it all out. I mean, he's got the facts. And the only other thing, I agree with what you said. The only other thing I would add to that, the Chiefs this season in terms of red zone opportunities, and they had a lot of them, the percentage of red zone opportunities where they score a touchdown, it was the lowest percentage of Mahomes' career. And Vic Fangio is his entire career as a defensive coordinator, now with Philadelphia, his defenses have been in the top four or five like every single season in denying touchdowns in the red zone. So the Chiefs will get down there, but will they have to settle for field goals? I mean, I think that's a huge battleground in this game, the red zone, when the Chiefs have the ball.
I agree with you. I think that's a great breakdown. Let me give you one more topic, if you would, and we got 2 minutes left, so we're at the 2 minute clock. It's running. Why isn't Torrey Holt in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Oh my gosh, 2 minutes. Number one, they changed the rules, so it's much more harder for a modern era candidate. Like, don't be confused the fact that Sterling Sharp got in. Him getting in had nothing to do with Torrey Holt being excluded, because Sharp was a senior committee nominee, so he got in based on that. But they changed the rules. They're going to make it much harder for modern era candidates to get in. They thought that, you know, the committee was putting in five, a long, long time, like all five would make it that got to the finalist. So by putting in the new rules, it's really harder for candidates to get the votes they need. And I won't go into the weeds on that, but it's harder to get the necessary votes. So basically what happened is that not only Torrey Holt, who was a finalist for the sixth time, but Reggie Wayne, finalist for the sixth time, I believe that they canceled each other out. They both got a lot of votes, but because it's much harder to clear that bar now, I think they canceled each other out. My fear is that Torrey Holt is going to kind of slip through the cracks, because this Hall of Fame keeps changing the rules all the time.
It's tough, but that's actually a really good analysis. It makes me feel a little more understanding, still angry.
You should be.
Yeah. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. I hope you have a great, what do you got? What are we cooking up tonight?
You know, mostly stuff that we went out and bought. I mean, although we're making some pasta, but we, you know, we're going to have the usual. We're going to have like dollar roll sandwiches, chicken wings. We've got all kinds of dips.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all over it.
I'm ready to go. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. Great stuff. We'll see you on the Gas House Gang tomorrow.
Have fun.
That's Bernie Mikkel. Subscribe to his YouTube channel, The Bernie Show. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning.